Brother Joseph DeVos lives in Gainesville, Florida with his wife, Karma. Joe and Karma have been married over 41 years. They have three sons, six grandchildren. Joe was preaching in Hawthorne, Florida for 12 and a half years. Joe is serving as a deacon at the 39th Avenue Congregation. Joe continues to teach and encourage. Joe teaches the men's Bible class at 39th Congregation. Joe would like to thank you for the opportunity to bring the lesson to you tonight. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that will be our scripture reading for tonight. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy and divine word.
We say good evening to all. Hope this is on now, but run. I pushed the button. So. Anyway, I have a big mouth, so it won't be a problem. We do thank God for the opportunity, and we are so encouraged and hope you all have just relished every moment of this wonderful gospel meeting that God has given unto you. And Make no doubts about it. Make no second guesses about it. Don't think this was an opportunity where you might feel you were overreaching a little bit. But you know what? God has given you an opportunity through this meeting all this week. He's given you an opportunity to reach out. Amen? All right. Are you ready for the go soul? Yeah. I'm ready. Amen. All right. Let's go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, go, go, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, go, go, go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. Go, 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 go. If you love me, really love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, until the end of the world. Go, 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 go. Amen. We thank you. We had to get that out, Brother Bill. Now, you'll be humming that, and you'll be singing that later on. You'll find yourself, and you just keep singing it. Well, God has given unto us this wonderful opportunity, and I would just like to thank the leadership here, the elders, and all the brethren, and the wonderful love that has been bestowed upon me and my wife from the very first time we walked through the doors. And we are so encouraged by you. I know I haven't gotten back much. I have a job, and, you know, I'm getting a little older and I have to work. So, therefore, I get a little tired sometimes. But Brother Ronnie keeps in contact with me, him and Brother A.C., and Brother D., when we can catch up and keep up with him. And we still communicate, and Brother Beans, the Beans and everything, we still do what we do. And so it's always on my horizon, not my sunset, but on my horizon to come and share the word of God with Arlington Road Church of Christ. This evening I've been given the topic of run the race and contend for the faith. Brother Ronnie read from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And we thank those who have participated thus far in this service tonight. And from the smallest things in the unseen areas who have helped things come along until those you have observed, we thank you. Because you don't realize, people, you didn't have to do it. But if you love the Lord, you did it. And God will get the glory. He'll get the glory. Amen. In the long run, he'll get the glory. You get a spiritual blessing. The topic tonight given reads out of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of throne of God. Amen, and amen, and amen. My subtopic will be wired to survive with Christ Jesus in my stride. Wired to survive with Christ Jesus in my stride. The object of what we're talking about tonight will be the aspects of confidence. By this week's end, confidence spiritually, physically, mentally. The three parts of who we are is in essence what you will carry out this door with you tonight. All that you have attained this week, God is saying, endure in the faith. And it's in evidence here as we read about Christ, the inspiring example. He is the example. He should be our everything. Amen. He is our author and finisher. He's the in-between. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's everything. And somebody said, I burned the candle in the middle, on the end, in the front. But, you know, Jesus is everything. The author of Hebrews. As I studied this book, you know, I did some studies many times and even taught a class myself on it. But every time you entertain God's will and his word, you gain a little bit more, Brother Ronnie. And it's so inspiring, so great is this letter or sermon that could have been at a synagogue. But this brother, and some say it's Paul, some say it's Apollos, some say it's this person at Alexandria. It doesn't matter. The brother was inspired. And he wants us to be inspired. He wants our confidence to turn it up a notch. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are we thermostats or are we thermometers? All right, you can take your temperature a little bit. Are we thermostats or are we thermometers? It is God's will that we understand that in Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Jesus asked the church there, he says that if you lukewarm, I will spill you out of the lukewarm church, the Laodiceans. He says here that these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit, or I will spew you out of my mouth. Oh, and I'm reading out of the New King James tonight, so maybe a little different, but the root word, the words of salvation, those words have not been changed. It's just an altering there because of the these and the thous, you know. So there's nothing there in that. Faith is the essence of what we're talking about, amen? Faith, as we look and realize in Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, which were not made of the things, are visible. Here's the essence. And so tonight we look briefly. Well, I don't do nothing briefly. We're going to look. We're going to look, and we're going to teach, and we're going to dwell on the Christian faith. Faith is a fitting and presented summary as we look here at this lesson tonight. As we look, the Hebrew writer or presenter carefully constructed an argument that the superiority of Christ is a gift. And in these days and times, as you have entertained this whole week, you should understand that you've been given a gift. If you've been baptized in the watery grave of baptism, you're able to walk in the newness of life. You've been given a gift. But it's a gift on two turns, and we'll get to those. But you can understand that he's saying here's a great value. You know, everybody wants a great value. They got great value gas. They got Dollar General. They got Family Dollar. You know, there's more people going to those kind of places. But you know what? In the church, there's only great value in Christ Jesus. Amen. Only in Christ Jesus. And the value comes to us. As the Home Depot say, more value for you. More value for you. You can do more with what he's giving you. He's not giving you any less. He gave you everything on the cross. He's not giving you anything less. He's giving you a gift. He's giving you value by his life and sacrifice. You see, the enduring in faith that doesn't shrink back is what he's talking about. Confidence. It's the same confidence that was able to take Moses and guide 2.7 million people. It was faith that was able to take David as he went before Goliath the Philistine. It was faith that allowed the other heroes, and we're going to see some of them, but all the others, Gideon and Barak, all of them we saw who were able to go and do the things that they did, it was confidence. God wants your confidence. You see, conviction is the equivalent of assurance. But then yet, confidence is the overriding value that God gives you to overcome when you feel that it's just my conviction is just a little low. Run the race and contend for the faith. In Hebrews 2 and 9, the writer says, and we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of the death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Verse 10 says, for it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Run the race. The captain. You think a track team, don't you, Ryan? Anybody that plays sports or anything, this is an analogy to understand that he is the captain of our salvation, perfect through suffering. No pain, no gain. Every morning, mostly every morning, I have to get up and I have to stretch. Amen. 61 years old, and I thank God. But before I walk them 278 steps, 5 days a week, I have to stretch. And I got a little roly-poly, four-inch one, and I get on and I roll on that floor and I roll back, and then by the time what I woke up was hurting, not hurting anymore, I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm able to go, and Brother Bean, by 10 o'clock, I could see it. I'm on my last run then, and I said, you know what? Well, whatever was hurting at 5:30 this morning stopped, and it ain't hurting no more, so I'm all right. Thank God for Tiger Balm and Aspirin. Yeah, don't you know it. You know it. The way of Christ led him from humiliation to exaltation. Jesus, as a result of his life, and for us, he suffered. And so we suffer too, don't we? Yeah, we suffer too. And it shows us the whole plan of God when we understand the suffering. It brings to realization for us that he died for everyone. Because you living a life for him now, there is suffering. But through that suffering, there is such great value. Such great value. The backdrop of this beginning of the 12th chapter comes from the 11th chapter. Let me give you a little backdrop here. In the 11th chapter, we learn about the Heroes Hall of Fame. God. Heroes Hall of Fame. Now, this is not Canton, Ohio. This is not the NFL. This is not the NBA. This is God roll call and his heroes from times past. In that 11th chapter, in verse 39, it says, because they were his, and these having obtained a good testimony through faith, they didn't receive a promise, but then it says that they had approval of God. And that's what this is all about, church family. Friends, do you have the approval of God? That's the most important question in your life today. And before you leave that door tonight, we want to ask you, if God has not given you his approval, and I'm going to tell you how he's going to give you that approval. But first you realize that he has a way. And his way is the truth. The way that Jesus and the whole plan that God has for us is completed. And we look and learn that there's solidarity. There's a kinship. His lordship is like none other. And with his people, his crowning, his glory, we one day look to be resurrected, and we look to one day. We look to one day of that glory and sharing it too. But we do in certain many ways. Remember, I asked you, were you a thermostat or a thermometer? Is it for you that when you walk into the room, everybody wish that you had not come in the room? Or when you leave, were they glad you left? He says that I can help because of a shared experience. Run the race and contend for the faith. Brethren, friends, family, we understand that urgency is in our spectrum of life in every facet today, right? Yeah, in every facet. And so it was for the heroes also. All the patriarchs, the fathers, the prophets of old. They had a spectrum of trouble too, amen? and it speaks of them, it talks of them. The world despised them. But just think if we didn't have Jesus in our life today. In this book of Hebrews, as I looked and just went through it from time past, I remember, there's five exhortations to those that community. And make no doubt about it, you are a community. Amen. You're a community. You meet in here, community. You're the church that meets in this building. This building is not the church. I just want to let you know that. You're the church. If you accepted Christ, you have been baptized. He adds you to his body. You become that part of that spiritual body. And so, therefore, you are able to go out and you represent him because you're living, moving, breathing. So, it's no essence that Brother Ronnie, he gives us an example of an ancient tract. Just put this in your mind in HD. You know, color. Yeah. But this is holy and divine. Woo, boy, you just put your mind right there. We had a family one time in Hawthorne. We had the parents went somewhere. We kept a little girl. And she got down to the building and we were together. And that's why I put that water up in front of her. And she started crying. I said, oh, Lord, but why that went so well? And I didn't know what to do. I was, said, color. She said, I want color. You place in your mind this ancient track. Runners in the ancient days, the Greco-Roman, Greek days, where they had those real races. You remember Ben-Hur? Anybody remember Ben-Hur? Ben-Hur? Yeah, that them kind of races. You know, life is death, brother Ed. Life is death right then. And so you can imagine the runners in this race. And God is telling us we are runners. The church is in a race. And you know it. That's why they ask you to meet on Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, every night if you can. But some of us say, oh, that's just too much church. Well, you're going to make it to heaven? It's going to be too much God? Then if you're thinking that, don't you know that he know that? It's presented here that salvation is before us. And a special responsibility, it comes to us and it shows us. Contenders, an Olympic game, those who would run for lives. And what God wants us to understand, and we've gotten real, we're termy these days. I call it termite-y. We build these great mounds, and it's like the Tower of Babel now, except it's intelligence. And what we need is a cognitive engagement. That's what we say, right? And we'll say sometimes, brother, I need something to endear me. Well, put on Christ today. He'll endear you. Yeah. Put on Jesus. Come up out of the watery grave of baptism, and you'll have an endearment, and you'll be able to endure. Contenders in this who ran, and they were running this cognitive engagement, looking to bring home the gold. Isn't that what it's all about? Bringing home the gold. We call it the bacon. We call it the cow. We call it the steer. We call it many things. But what it is that it lets us understand. If you want to understand, look at this 11th chapter, verses 13 through 16. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen in them afar off, were assured of them. Embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Oh, that's a wonderful thing to understand that I'm not going to be here forever. Amen. I think of death. I'm approaching that. It's that time of life. And I watch other people dealing with it. But you know what? If you got confidence where you're at, then you can realize what it says is that they're saying that, hey, they confess that they were just strangers, pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. I seek a homeland, do you? But to reach a homeland, you have to leave where you were at to come to what God has provided. He's provided for us the church of Christ. A continent enhancer. Each time zone can entertain the gospel. You know what? They're all over the world, the gospel can be preached, right? It can be preached in the 4 months of nothing but darkness in Alaska, just like it can be preached on the equator, which has sunlight for 36 straight days sometimes. Isn't that an enhancer? God says that I know these, and you are like them. You see, what happened to the Hebrews was that they were faltering. Some were going back to Judaism, some were going to idol worship in other areas. Most were just listening, and they were entertaining strange things. And if you're not careful, and your confidence isn't where it needs to be, you'll start listening to these things. And God says that you what you need is some cognitive engagement. In verse 15, and truly they had called to mind that country from which they had come out. They would have had opportunity to return. See, I don't want to go back to where I have been. I don't want to go back to where I've been. And I want to stay where I'm at. No matter what I go through, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to stay with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stay with the Lord. You see, it's inevitable for us to realize that this special responsibility has to help us persevere. I know the Lord is going to help me. When he going to help me? And the time he going to help me, that's his business. But I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to run the race and contend for the faith. Place in your mind, again, the fact of resilience. They died in faith as they lived in faith. Resilience and drive can only come from being wired inside. See, if you've been near that point where you know you have to have Jesus. See, because knowing that I have to have him, I can realize that verse 2 of that 12th chapter says, looking unto him, knowing that he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, he endured the cross. I haven't endured that cross. But we endure the cross of life serving him. Amen. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, what I found through the years of that, gospel meetings are great, but when it's over and you get the sliding back into your regular pattern, here come old Satan, or he gonna come along with his roller coaster, and he gonna bring you along. But let me, he says that understanding. He says that here is in essence of what it is. Matthew 10:35. He said, for I have come to set a man against his father, against a daughter, against a mother, against a daughter-in-law, against a mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. See, he's not talking about physically picking up a wooden cross. He's talking about spiritually living the life, in enduring the everyday facts of saying, I follow the Lord. I'm a member of the church which Jesus established. I know from whence on that day of Pentecost, when the gospel message was preached, and Peter and all the rest of the apostles summed everything up and told him in chapter 2, verse 36, that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him now both Lord and Christ. In verse 37, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, what we have to realize is that this resilience is going to be coming as what a greater destination. And it's in the New Jerusalem. And that's what we look for, that new place, that new home. Faith was their drive. And so it should be our drive. I notice everybody nowadays, they're getting back on the HGH, the human growth hormone. And athletes use it for some for the good and some not so for the good. But we today, we can use our ETE, your effort, your training, endurance. Mm-hmm. You can take it and you can rub it on, Brother Bill. You can rub it on your knees. You can get it right. You can train spiritually in the Lord. That's a workout. That's a workout. He says here that what or who has a hold on us? That's what the Hebrew writer said. What or who has a hold on you? On me? What do we have to realize that where I'm at in serving God? When I realize this, it says effort, training, endurance. It says faith was the prescription dose. See, this faith here, you don't have to order it. It doesn't have to come through the internet. It doesn't have to come in a certain time. UPS, FedEx, the Lord will deliver it to you. If you're faithful and you're praying, and your supplication is growing every day, God says that this is what I have for you. Confidence. In Philippians 3, in Philippians the 3rd chapter, Paul. You see, Hebrews is between the Pauline, the gospel letters, and the personal letters. Hebrews fits right in there because of his argument of the superiority of Jesus in that 3rd chapter. Paul says it's like this, and when you tie it up, verses 12 through 14. Paul says that not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which the Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You see, if you're living in this world, you got to let the Lord get a hold of you. But some people you want, you, no, Lord. But he says here, the Lord gets a hold. The Lord has a hold. And that's what we want you to do. He says I've forgotten those things which are behind, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. In the description of the ancient races, those who were stretching forth. It's just like a baseball player or the first base. The first base is so important because he has to stretch to get that deal, right? You didn't hear nothing pop, did you? Ooh, praise God. That was good, wasn't it? I ain't going to try with the other one. You didn't hear nothing pop. He says it's the fall. It's a form of those runners. Those runners had a certain type of form, and they took everything into account, the atmosphere, everything, the dirt, and all of those things. And that's what we have to do. We have to take these things, and we have to honestly measure them. Have you ever thought when you walked into a room, who am I going to be able to talk to about the Lord? Or if I'm talking to this person, I'm concerned about this. Nothing wrong with thinking that. You, oh, well, I can't think about this, this, and this. Wait a minute. What are all the business is better than the Lord's business? Some people say, well, that's just, you, everything you do can't be church. Well, wait a minute. Now, that's to an extent, but you have to have the souls of people in your mind. And if it's in your mind, it gets in your soul. And that's why people start seeing it on you. You don't even have to open your mouth. All you got to do is be a servant of God, because that's your confidence. So he says here in verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. Remember here in the second chapter, it says, have the mind of Jesus. Let this mind be in you. So he says here, if we have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this unto you. Well, how's he going to reveal it to you? He's going to reveal it to you through his word. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it goes back and tells us that God, who at sundry times in different manners spoke through the fathers and the prophets, but now he speaks these days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, whom also he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the what? The word of his power. And when he had these things, when he had these by himself, he purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God in the majesty on high. Run the race and contend for the faith. What Paul is saying here is that just now comes the task. See, many people think because you get baptized and you're added to the church and they announce you and you're able to take the Lord's Supper and everybody fellowships you, and then you sit down across the leg and say, I got me. Just bring me some lemonade. In shape. But this is just the beginning. Have you ever really tuned in to tell people that after death, this eternal life that we have continues on? That's the sad part, isn't it? After death, this life spiritually continues on. In Luke the 12th chapter, the rich farmer, what did he say? Hey. I can get all my bonds. I got my bonds filled. I can kick back tonight, enjoy life. But it says that the Lord says, this night, thou fool, your soul is required of you. So it's an understanding here, as Paul says, that we pursue and we obtain and we look to apprehend. But many say, well, I already got it. And I don't have to do any more with it. But God says that you have to continue to pursue. Apprehending is to lay hold of by reaching with form. Those runners who would go across the line would go across the time as much as possible. We see it today in our modern races. They, when they go across the line, they try to stick their chest out of their head. They try to get across the line. He wants you to go across the line. And he says, you will go across the line. By reaching with this form, we understand there's the goal. Now bring home the goal. But we also, I want to tell you, you need to go where the goal is at. In Revelation, the 21st chapter, it talks about that the New Jerusalem, that's where God wants it. That's where the goal is. And what it is, it's the preciousness of your heart, your soul, your being, of knowing that you're going to be with God. It's the responsibility. So as we look in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we looked at verse 39, but in verse 40, he says, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Who is they? It's the ones that was the wherefore that came in. It's the ones of like Abraham and Sarai, and then Isaac and Jacob, and then it's the Moses, and it goes on, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. And as it talked about them, it's those, the women that received their dead, raised to life again. You remember that with the aspects of Elijah and others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking, scourges, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And of whom the world was not worthy. Oh, boy. Now, God don't want you walking around with your head so high that a rainstorm might drown you. But he wants you to dwell. He wants you to dwell and be reachable. He wants his son's life in your life. And then here's the responsibility. See what it says. Verse 40. God having provided something better for us, so therefore if God provided something better for us and we accept it, then he expects at least something from us. Yes. He expects it from us. And the Hebrew writer says that we have to give something. And what it is, what he gave to us, something better, a better hope, a better covenant, a better sacrifice. So therefore, the good things, he said, here, bring these to me. When Brother Ronnie gave me this topic, I began to look around, and I found this book that was published in 1931. And it's by James Truslow Adams. And it's called The Epic of America. The Ethos of American Society. And you know, better is what his observance was. After the Olympics that year, he wrote this book to encourage the masses. And it says that this is what a book should be. Brother Bill, this is what a book should be. It says there that it's not a tangled chronicle of dates and war campaigns. Instead, it was a portrait of life in a community. You see, my friends, church family, the church is a community. Don't ever, you know, picture your little house and somebody else's. You're spiritual. This is a community. Each congregation is a community. And so God says that, he says here that instead of a portrait in this community, he says it's from state to state, county to county, bring home the gold. He says here's a portrait of the spirit of America, diverse past, uprising of its citizens, bigger is better, attitudes, business, politics, government, social custom, history. Isn't that what the Lord talking about? Isn't that how you can reach folks? In these areas right here, were you able to relate your spiritual training, your ETE, and you go out there with that, and you endure, And you help bring this confidence to others that you have. Remembering of the knowledge and having that faith. You're in a conscious state. You're having a mind. This cognitive means that you're aware of it. You're measuring. Spiritually, you're aware. He says here that this American dream was to be enhanced by every American that walked on the streets or on the country roads. But you know what? The Lord gives this to us from continent to continent. Instead of crack in the backwoods little city towns, the Lord and the gospel can be there. Instead of being right down the street, the Lord and the gospel can be there. In the high penthouse offices that are downtown, the Lord can be there. Hebrews 12:1-2. Now we see faith. It's in a stance, not having received the promise. When the track is ran. When you get ready to run that track line, brother runner, and you get down here, you get right on that line. And you get up, and then the man hits the fire. He says, you're in the stand for Jesus. You're not laying down. Your confidence is up. Be like two guys that was in the army. And they both was on guard duty one night, Brother Bill. But they both got sleepy. So one of them said, you know what? I got confidence in you that I'm going to lay down and take this nap, that you're going to wake me up. And the other one said, well, you know what? I got confidence in you. When I wake you up, I'm going to go to sleep and then you're going to wake me up. Well, when the sergeant of the guard that next morning wrote them up, he said, they're confident that they laid down. Don't let your confidence lay down on you. No, you know, you encourage somebody. Don't wait for somebody to encourage you. You encourage them. Engage, commence, and take part in. Bring into a conflict. Understand what you're going and what you're dealing with. The whole history of salvation is in our hands. The whole history. Just think collectively the churches of Christ around the world. Just think about it. It starts in places and communities like we are right here tonight. See, it's a wonderful thing to go to a church of Christ and you get the same doctrine. Amen. When it's a church of Christ, that's a blessing. Me and my wife have lived it. We have traveled thereabouts from time to time. And wherever we go, and it's a church of Christ, it's always a blessing when we leave. And we know those folks for 27 years, 20, you know, for as long as we've been in the church. We know those people. We always do. Because that's why I tell people, when you go out of town, find the church. Amen. As soon as you get there and get settled in, find the church. Amen. Well, we got to go, so I do. No, first, I got to call. And then call back and tell the elders, hey, but AC, I find the church of Christ. They're going to come pick us up, or they're going to come show us. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. We understand the previous runners. They demonstrated with spectacular success. But do we understand what it really means? Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. You see, the aspect of this, back in those times, in the Greek art and poetry and stuff, they used the cloud as saying it was a group of people. You can go back and study. It says it was a group of people. And so it says here, that we're surrounded by so great a crowd. He's talking about the heroes. See, that's what we're today. We sing the song when we all get to heaven. But have you ever thought who he's talking about? He's not just talking about everybody in here. He's talking about those who have been on before. Don't let you know that you're walking chains and arm walking with Abraham. Don't you know you're chained and you're walking with all the others, Saul and Paul. love the Lord one time. And we have members in the church that fall away. We go back and encourage them if you can. He says here that we look to that so great. So he says, let us lay aside every weight. He says that here's a moving appeal. So that how you can survive with Jesus in your stride. Oh, man, when I think about it, you know who's walking with you. The faith of the past hero. He says that they're the witnesses. Oh, now, he's not telling you, oh, okay, well, Brother Joe, you that Bible study, let me tweak you on that right there. You know what? No, he's not talking about that. He says that they're there to let you know that they martyred this. Many of them died for the Lord. They had a confidence. They had a confidence. And then they let it be known that they're there to encourage you, to lift you up, that their lives have not been spent in vain. Isn't that what we worry about sometimes? In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 24, it says that then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and when he puts all an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his footstool, and the last enemy will be destroyed in death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are under him, it is evident that he who puts all these things is accepted. Now, when all these things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things on him, that God may be all in all. He says when you put it that way. But he says even more in the latter part of that. Verse 55, Paul says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or the grave, where is your victory? You see, here's my confidence. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, by my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he says, run this race and contend for the faith with confidence. Accomplish it? How can I do this? It's a two-part aspect. In verse 1, it's two parts. First part is preparatory. The first part is preparatory. Lay aside every weight. Those runners in those days were stripped. We see it now. We see the runners who run these races. They get as light as they can. He said, stripped out. They would get down to barely nothing when he could run this race because they didn't want nothing holding them down. I worked with a guy. He's a little slow. And the other day, So he says here that understand that this preparatory is like anything, that with Christ's stride, that he's by your side, it's well circumstanced sins that we understand. We all have different things, don't we? Don't sit up here and say you don't have any sin. First John said if you say that, you're a liar. But what we do is we get ourselves right with God. And we understand who and what we are. And then we encourage one another with confidence to rid ourselves of the well-circumstanced sin that's in our lives. And when you have a master over it and work with it, you're able to deal with it. As time goes on, you strengthen yourself in the Lord. The second part is perfective. Run the race with patience. Run the race with patience. If you're going to contend, you got to understand that God says in Ecclesiastes, that fourth chapter, excuse me, the ninth chapter, verse 11. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, "And I return the song to the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." Tonight is your opportunity. Tonight is your opportunity. We don't know what our time will be. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Run this race with patience. Run this race and understand that Jesus is the pioneer, our author, our finisher. In 2 Corinthians 5, in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In verse 17, we can walk with as a new creature, with confidence. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, things have become new." Run the race. It's marked out by the forerunner, not the SUV that's parked out in the parking lot. Not a forerunner, an automobile. We're talking about Jesus. He's the forerunner. He's the pioneer. We read of those who come through the pioneer days. You seen that commercial about the settler, the guy with the cable guy and all that there? You know, talking about he's a settler and all that there. Wait a minute now. But we're talking about Jesus, the pioneer. Sometimes you have to tell people the gauge for your compromise is broke. And just look at you. We understand the three spiritual qualities: faith, hope, and patience. Here we find that, but also we find in Romans 8 and 42. He says here that here we understand this hope. Romans 8. And he says in 24, Romans 8, 24. Understand here what it says. It says that we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why does one still hope for what he sees? You see, we need to understand what we're hoping for is still there. God says it's there, it's coming. But he says, "Do my will." He says, and if we hope, verse 25, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await it for" what? "Perseverance." Confidence with that perseverance. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself makes its intercession for us, and groanings which cannot be uttered." And then if you go on a little bit more, verse 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors." You got confidence through him who loved us. "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Tonight, run the race and contend for the faith. One thing about the confidence God gives us is Bible sure. And if we study and learn and go back and study, like I said, I went over this whole study again and just revived, realizing that great cloud of witness was there with me. And if you take it like that and think about it, you'll never. That's what the Lord said in Matthew 28. There, he says that I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you until the ends of the earth. But he's not talking about just himself. But he is enough. Amen. He is enough. But he's talking about everyone else that has lived for God and died for God. It'd be like Elijah thinking he was the only one left after going against Baal. And then God showed him there was 700 more out there just like him. In his confidence, he rose up again. His confidence rose back up. So your confidence can rise tonight. As sure as the character of God is, the assurance is based on God's pledge. He's made a pledge in his covenant to us. In 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 1. We ask you to look and realize in verses 23 through 25. 1 Peter 1, 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of the grass, and the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which was by the gospel preached unto you. Do you understand the gospel message tonight? It's God's pledge to you. He says if you will hear it, Hebrews 11 and 6 says, he that cometh to God must believe in that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Those are heroes from time past. They diligently saw the Lord. Remember Abraham coming from the land of Ur. You're looking at Job living in the time that he lived in. All of these men, Job was found to be perfect in the eyes of God. You got Noah, who was found in perfect in the eyes of God, a faithful man. So he says here, it endures. The word endures. And you know what? God has never broke a promise, but we do. We do. I haven't drunk a Coca-Cola since the day before Christmas. Because I know I want my A1C to look good when I go to the doctor. And you know, I look at this, but you know, and the other day I was getting kind of, I said, you know what? I'm not going to drink one. But Beans, I said, I ain't going to do it. So I said, well, I understand. Next is his goodness. His character is connected with his enduring truth. I appreciate your endurance of coming out here on a Friday night to hear me ramble on. I know you wish another skinny man to sit down. To come out on a Friday night when you could have been watching HBO or Cinemax or whatever. You came out to hear the word of God.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for it. Because the word of God endures. Psalms 100. Here, look what he says here in Psalms 100. He says that in realizing this, that who he is and what he is, and he endures what he is to us as we could take it, what he will be to us. It's just five verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all his lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come out before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who made us and not we who made ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations.
Yeah.
Run the race and contend for the faith. Lastly is his justice. When I look at all those who understood, who follow God to the best of their ability, even Samson, even those who may not have rose up to that point, but who am I to talk? But I'm just a man. And I have my faults too. But his goodness, his pledge, his goodness, and his justice tells me that his enduring word should be given from generation as he gave it to one and from generation to generation. And tonight, we are that generation, brothers and sisters. And if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you can be called. See, because one day God's going to call a judgment to this world, right? Amen. And you know what? The church is going to be presented back to him. We saw that in 1 Corinthians, that 15th chapter. And when it's all said and done, we all going to be together. It's going to be joyful. When you, through all those years, you're going to say, you're going to look around, you're going to say, oh, man. Oh, glory. I'm in the midst. And all the heavenly hosts who will be with the Lord and God Father and the Holy Spirit. And we'll all be there together. But if you're not a member of the church which he established on the day of Pentecost, tonight, you will miss that opportunity. If you believe this, he says in John 8:24, if you believe that he is the Messiah, the true one, the Son of God. In verse 21, he says, if you don't believe this, you will die in your sins. And where he's at, you won't be able to come. So now repentance will come to mind. In Acts 17:30, he says that he used to wink, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And he wants you to repent to realizing that you are not alone. Your confidence can bring you through. Confession. Confession in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, is one of my favorites. Because God wants you to squish that little kingdom you call yourself. He wants you to break it down. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. You run the race and contend for the faith, for this purpose, for the pulling down of spiritual strongholds in people's lives with the power and the word of God. Casting down arguments and in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing in every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Want to fulfill your obedience tonight by obeying the gospel. Lastly comes baptism. Ephesians 5:26 says it's a washing of the word that you endure, and this word is enduring. From generation to generation. In John 12:48, it tells us that it's the same word that's going to judge us one day, that God, Jesus has left us. These words of God. It's enduring, and he's going to judge us by it. And then lastly, Acts, the 10th chapter. Verses 34 and 35. Therefore, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works his righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee and after baptism which John had preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went along doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and who they killed by the hanging on the tree. But God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to all witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Are you ready tonight to come to God? Because Jesus said he's going to judge you. And then you can put on your track shoes. And you can get a cognitive engagement of life. Nothing's bored about serving the Lord. I just can't keep up. There's so much. The harvest is white. Tonight, the song of invitation will be sung. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said he would build his church, and the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. We ask you tonight, won't you come? And then Romans 12:1-2 brings to mind for us that once you obey the gospel, you can reform. You can transform and not become formed by the renewing of your mind. But that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Then you can run the race and contend for the faith. As we prepare to sing this song of invitation, won't you come?